Hello, dear friends. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of a contemporary praise song and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
The honors of thy name, 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 the honors of thy name.
I'm glad this Andre Crouch song is in our United Methodist hymnal. It's a wonderful song of hope and joy. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Today's message is entitled, Greater Than a Crown. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Amen. I can remember very clearly that my grandfather and my dad were standing on either side of me. Now, I'm sure that my mother was there too, but I just can't remember anyone else. I was kneeling at the altar of the Lutheran Church in Silverton, Ohio. Now, Silverton is in Greater Cincinnati area, and it seems strange that I don't recall any of the circumstances that led up to that morning. I was 9 years old then, and whatever the minister said to me had to do with my baptism, I know, but I can't remember it. I do distinctly recall the water and his hand on my head as he prayed. Now, I confess to you that I had no idea just how important that moment was in my life. I have a hunch that many of us miss the powerful significance of really what happens to us at our baptism. Now, Mark, the gospel writer, begins in this very first chapter by teaching us about the power of baptism. Imagine that you and I are standing there on that riverbank with the others who were witnessing John baptizing Jesus. John argues a little with Jesus and then says that Jesus should be baptizing him, not John baptizing Jesus. But finally, John agrees and walks down into the water with Jesus. Now, you know, scholars are not sure just how John did the baptism. Tradition claims that he was immersed under the water. On the other hand, others say that the water would have been so shallow there that that couldn't have happened. But you know, I don't suppose it really matters just how it was done. The most important event was that Jesus was baptized and he came up out of that water, and there was an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit that fell on him. It was a voice of God and that said to him, You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Now, according to Mark, when Jesus came out of the water, he was the only one who had experienced that voice from heaven speaking to him. It was for Jesus an epiphany. Now recall that epiphany means a manifestation of the presence of God. I think if you'll read further into the scriptures, you will discover that this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This was not only a baptism, it was for him his coronation service. Remember that Jesus was born in a little town that really had a bad reputation. His mama was a teenage girl when he was born, and there were still rumors flying around about the strange facts surrounding his birth. Now, we believe that Jesus was 30 years old. He had not been to any college or university. In fact, he had been homeschooled. He was an itinerant carpenter from Nazareth. He worked for basic daily wages. And to our knowledge, he was still working for his dad, Joseph. Now, I do not know why he waited until he was 30 years old to begin his ministry. We don't really know for sure, but we do know that when Jesus came up out of that water, he had experienced his ordination. He had received it from God. He had heard for the first time that the Scripture teaches us that he was the Son of God. Now, I want you to think about something. You and I can read the gospel accounts of what happened to and with Jesus during the next 3 years of his ministry. But today, you and I are reading it about how it all began. Did you notice that the voice that came to announce that Jesus was the Son of God did not even tell Jesus what to do or how to do his ministry for the next 3 years? There is no evidence of an instruction book or even a yellow pad with paper on it with some kind of notes or ideas written upon it. I think it is reasonable for us to agree that Jesus began the journey of his ministry just by claiming the power of God's presence through his ordination service that we call his baptism. Now, just think of this. Do you realize that if you had been baptized, that if you have been baptized, you have received the same ordination service that came to Jesus that day? You have the authority and the power to invite and encourage others to a transforming, life-changing experience with God. Remember some time ago I told you about my friend Joe Fulford. Joe was a meat cutter at Winn-Dixie in Miami. He was 40 years old. Joe hadn't finished high school. He had 4 children and 1 wife. The Fulfords were like most persons who earned just about enough income to match their bills. Joe discovered one day that God seemed to be calling him to a new lifestyle. Joe told me that he was excited and scared to death because he felt that God was calling him to become an ordained Methodist minister. Friends prayed for him. They were afraid for him, really. But, you know, most of them thought he had been having some kind of a midlife crisis. How could a man who hadn't even finished high school plan to complete 7 years of college and support his family? There was no book of instruction for Joe. Nobody gave him something and said, this is how you do it. No one told him about how the authority of his baptism would call on his life. But Joe graduated from high school with his oldest daughter. He graduated from college at the University of Florida and finally graduated from seminary at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. Joe served faithfully in the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church, and finally his son became a United Methodist minister, all because of that ordination day. Ed is a pastor in the Nashville area of the United Methodist Church. Ed told me after he was on our program that not long ago, he felt a strong pull in his life to minister in truck stops and among the homeless and neglected people in Nashville. He said it's scary at times, but he said he was sure that God was calling him to do this work. You see, this is not the normal work of a pastor or a district superintendent. He was not commissioned by his bishop to do this extra work. In fact, it is nowhere in his job description. Yet by the authority of his baptism, he heard the call of God on his life to do that very work. You know, when you remember that you have received a greater ordination than any earthly king, in fact, it's far greater than any crown upon your head that you will ever receive in this lifetime. If you remember that, you will rediscover the monumental power confirmed on you at your baptism. Now, good friends, I want to tell you there are times in all of our lives when we discover that because of our baptism, we are in places we never dreamed would happen to us. It was early in my ministry. A call came just after midnight. A teenage boy was missing in the Gulf of Mexico. He and 2 other young men had gone out in the boat early that day. The sea was calm and the sun was bright. But late in the afternoon, it all changed. A storm came up and they lost sight of the shore. Somewhere in the middle of the night, the boat capsized. The sun was just coming up when Judy and I arrived at the Gulf. The Coast Guard had been searching since first light. It was nearly 10 o'clock before we heard the flapping noise of the helicopter blades come to a standstill. The pilot was hovering about 100 yards offshore. For a moment, there was a dim ray of hope. Then we saw the diver hook the body of a young boy to a steel cable and slowly hoist it to the waiting aircraft. I was standing next to his dad. We were all waist-deep in the water. His father, whose heart had been crushed during the silence of his pain, just held on to me. We stood there for a long time. I was completely lost for words. I kept praying, God, give me something to say or do for this family. About an hour later, we made our way to the hospital where the body had been taken. The doctor asked the father to go with him so that he could identify his son's body. I shall never forget what happened right then. The father pointed to me and said to the doctor, I want him to be with me. He's my pastor. Part of me wanted to scream out and say, I don't know how to do this. I'd have never done this before. I don't know the words, and I'm too afraid. But instead, it was like a voice inside me kept saying, remember, you belong to me, and I want you to be here with this family. That's hard for me to remember that, but since then I have discovered that my being there on that Saturday morning began when my dad and my grandfather and the minister put their hands on my head at the altar there at that Lutheran church in Cincinnati, and they called for God to baptize me. Lord in heaven, confirm in us today the incredible power you have entrusted to your children through your sacred baptism. Amen.
Thank you, John Wolfe, for that message. John, although Jesus did not baptize people during his earthly life, the scriptures promise he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In fact, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, make the promise he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Yes, John, our baptism with water in that beautiful ceremony symbolizes Christ's baptism with the Holy Spirit and with fire. How awesome is the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit's baptism with fire. John, we pray that all of our listeners will seek not only the water baptism, but Christ's life-changing baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Dear listener, surrender yourself to the Lord. Put yourself into His hands for the touch of the Holy Spirit. You will discover a life-changing grace and power. From being centered in yourself, you will move to being a person with Christ at the center of your life. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being with us today. There's a lot of things I want to say, but this morning I just feel led to lead us in a prayer. Prayer for all of us. And so pray with me. Lord Jesus, as I watched the TV screen in the safety of my home, I watched while the protesters went from quietly marching to rioting in the city streets. It felt like I was watching an action movie on Netflix. But then I began to realize that most of the persons on the streets, they were just there responding to such pain and fear that is so deeply rooted in our culture. Lord, I'm so sad that it takes this kind of response to bring it to the attention of persons like me. I know it's there, Lord, but most of the time I watch it from the safety of my culture. I change the channel or just look the other way. I feel like I'm on Golgotha and I'm looking at the body of Jesus and saying what a terrible thing they've done to him. And then I go back to my living room. Lord, help me, help us. Help us to feel hurt and the pain that penetrates to a place in our beings, so much so that it urges us to live in such a way that we not only watch, but it makes it impossible not to live the way you've taught us. Amen. Thank you for being with us. And if you want to say anything or respond, go to our website, MethodistHour.com, MethodistHourInternational.com. Amen. Blessings on you.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.